So another Matthean adaptation of the version of the Beatitudes we have in Luke. Luke has, "Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful," which is probably much more accurate and faithful to Jesus than "be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And Michael Loback is not here today. I hope that does not bespeak some kind of contretemps.
No, he just couldn't.
That's what I figured, yeah. No, Michael is large-souled. But I'm afraid I did not make myself clear last week. The easiest way to compare the law of the Jews with Anglo-Saxon law is that they have radically different purposes. There are Anglo-Saxon laws, which we all need, of course, to keep order. You need to drive on the right side of the road rather than the left side of the road, unless you're in England, of course, or the Caribbean. Otherwise, life would be chaos. So the purpose, as I understand it, and I'm ready to be corrected by my betters, is social order. And to enforce social order, there is a series of rewards and punishments. You're rewarded by not going to the pokey if you obey all the laws, and then you're punished by being sent to the pokey, which is, believe me, is a totally dehumanizing experience. However, for the Jews, all the laws were religion-based, unlike the Anglo-Saxon scheme. However, they may be compatible, but they're radically different, because the point of the Jewish fidelity to the law is a response, as I said last week, and I hope I made this clear, to the covenantal relationship that the Jews believed they had with God. So we're with Moses on wherever Moses was and wherever he got these laws from. That was in recollection of the Exodus. You cannot separate the Jewish understanding of law from God's gracious liberating power exemplified in the Exodus story. And that's really important. No, because the Jewish law was essentially sacred, where Anglo-Saxon law is essentially secular, as it should be. So there's no problem with that, I hope. But then we get down to cases. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Why, in God's name, should you do any of that cockamamie stuff? Why? Why? There must be a reason. And again, this is where the two systems of law are very distinct. So you don't go to the pokey in the Anglo-Saxon system. And then the religious system, so you don't alienate yourself from God by ingratitude. A drastically different construction of what obedience, fidelity, rather than obedience, I think. Fidelity is the word, to be faithful to the God who has been faithful to us in the first place. And that puts a radically different face on not praying. Why don't you hate your enemy? Common sense says you ought to. No, because that ends up objectifying your enemy, turning them into some kind of inhuman object, which is, of course, the normal strategy we use when we go to war. Well, you're all too young to remember the Second World War, but the Japanese were worms, vermin. The Jews, for the Nazis, were rats. You know? Well, who doesn't mind killing a rat? Or somebody who's going to pollute your social system? Was exactly the way the Nazis treated handicapped people, gypsies, communists. They dehumanize them first. And the whole genius of the Jewish understanding of human life is that we are all co-equal human beings. No one is more or less human than I am. And so you cannot hate your own flesh. You cannot despise people or ignore people who are your own kin. And kin in the deepest way. Remember that painful scene in the gospel where the apostles come to Jesus. Hey, your folks are outside and they want to talk to you. Meaning his mother and whoever was hanging around. Jesus' response was very eloquent. Who is my mother and who is my brother? So the bonds of family are less significant, less profound than the bonds that relate me to God in gratitude. I'm not very grateful. You know, we have Thanksgiving Day. Good, it happens. 24 hours later, now I can go back to be the dirty rat that I typically am. You know. No. It's much more demanding than that. So it's, I think this is true to say that the law, as understood by the Jews, is not so much prescriptive, prescribes certain behavior, as Anglo-Saxon law does. It is descriptive, which is drastically different. This means this is what we're called to do. It doesn't assume that anybody's doing it. I certainly don't do it. Love my enemies. Pray for those who persecute me. Doesn't work. There's no payout for doing that rubbish. So you just trot along, you know, doing your business. But we're talking about the whole business of conversion. My heart has to be opened. My eyes have to be opened. My ears have to be opened. Have to be much more aware and aware in a drastically different way of my fellow human beings. And the basis of this was something that Father Luther 500 years ago tried to remind the Roman bureaucrats of. Remember the big triad of Lutheran theology, sola scriptura, we only have the Bible, sola fides, you're saved by faith, and finally, to our purposes, sola gratia. There is no up by your own bootstraps in Christianity, although we talk that way. I mean, I went through 3 seminaries, and the key word was always obedience. Obey or you'll get kicked out. And we all knew it, and it all happened with great regularity. It's not obedience, it's fidelity that we're talking about. I have to be faithful to the God who created me and all of you guys and everybody else. Only by grace is this possible. You can't make a will act and say, well, by God, today I'm going to love everybody. It doesn't work, folks. It just simply doesn't work. So, this stuff is very tough to hear. But the gospel is always tough to hear when it's really heard. It's not some panacea for my woes and my pain and my suffering. It's a call to greater, deeper humanity. And that greater and deeper humanity consists in my faithfulness to the God who's faithful to us.